next Friday. And it is the event which is something that is coming for our young adults here next week and in the community. And what we're believing for right now is that there'll be many, many who sign up and come into wholeness out at Camp Luz. And we're going to show a video, and that those who are involved in that can go ahead and share about that, so that we can encourage one another to not only be there, but also next week we're going to have an hour and a half service from 6 to 7:30, because we will have been giving all weekend, many of us from Frontline. And so the Sunday service won't be here in the morning. It'll be here at night from 6 to 7:30. So people can get home and after all next week, but also share what God has done and give people an opportunity to demonstrate what God has said and done. So that's what will happen next week. So if you're bringing somebody with you, bring them in the evening. That'll be a real big blessing. So I want to pass out a handout, actually. It's called The Heart of Worship, and I want everybody to take one. And I was reading in Charisma magazine over the last month. I've been reading various people's experiences dealing with worship and worship leaders from around the world. And you should have two pages. They're front and back. We're not going to go through this handout. This is something that everybody gets their own, so they can read it in their own quiet time. And just want to tell you that I did, in my own time, as I was laying in bed one night, I was reading through it. And so I did underline some things. It's not for you. It's for me. So just so that you know that. And I just came in this morning. It was on my heart. And I asked Ashley to copy that for me. So anyway, I would ask that you would read it later with a heart before the Lord. As a worship leader, Darlene Zeck in the Body of Christ from Australia, she's amazing. And many of you know her music. But if you don't, please read it anyway, whether you like it or don't like it. You can read it later. But if you would read it and think about this, because if worship of the Lord is not our heart, our key desire in our heart, all the programs and all the plans and everything that we have put into motion here at Frontline will just become mechanical. And it's not mechanical. And it's because we love Jesus, we're in love with Jesus, and he energizes us through worship. So it's all about worship and what worship can look like. And it's not necessarily worship here on the stage. It's just expressions of worship and how we can approach the Lord and what he's saying and what he's doing and what he wants to do to free us and bring us into a place of greater expression. And I'm excited about that. So I would encourage you to do that. And actually, if we have enough, I'm not sure, I think we have enough. If not, we can pass them out to all these young adults going up to upstairs in the upper room. So, yeah, I don't know how many we have. So if you can get it to the junior hires, that would be really good. And I just want to take you to a place in Scripture in 2 Samuel 6, 3 through 23. And if we can put that up on the screen, that'd be great. That's a passage the Lord gave me. I want us to look at and consider before the Lord with the awesome worship that we had this morning. Our hearts are primed to think more about how the Lord looks at worship for us and what he's saying. As I know, many of us are going through challenges in our life right now. We're trying to figure out a lot of things about who we are, what we're doing, where we're going, how we fit, how we resonate in the body of Christ, how we want to love one another, how we want to extend grace and love to each other and to our families, and all of that mixed in, this kind of a ring on the back, mixed in with what the Lord is saying about walking that out and how worship is actually supposed to be in our lives and how we're supposed to respond to the Lord. I mean, that's why we're here. That's what God's purpose is for us. Thanks, Nikki. You fixed that ring. Yeah, I can hear it. I'm back. And I think that as we're keeping this first and foremost in our mind, that the way that we will flow through what God has for us in these days coming will be very different, very, very different. And I believe God's all about transforming us. He's transforming us from the inside out. And he's in a time of exposure right now, all over the world, all over the body of Christ. And he's saying, I so want to release you and relieve you from anything in your heart that's aching, that's hurting you. And ways for that to be accomplished, God is going to show us. He's going to show us what's there, and then he's going to give us the keys for that so that we can worship him in abandon. But also through worship, he brings that kind of release and that kind of healing. So as we have healing rooms here, and again, the term healing rooms is really known around the world in areas of healing. And the reason for that is that we want people to feel as though that they're very loved and they're very cared about and they're very, very much involved in what God's doing in this season, in lives, in the body of Christ, and also for the world, and that they're not a number, they're an individual, and they have worth and they have value. And sometimes when we have big corporate meetings like this, we have people healed instantly in the presence of God. Other times we'll pray and we'll talk and we'll just lay before the Lord, and we'll see what God wants to do to be able to facilitate that healing. We'll get a prophetic word. We'll get a prophetic sign or symbol or something like that. I know we have a freedom class, and Cynthia's taught that, and we'd like to raise up others to also continue to teach that and release that, with the idea that we're just desiring more freedom in the Spirit in all areas of our life, and we're looking to the Lord how to facilitate that. And so when we walk in what's been spoken over us, when we walk in our giftings and our callings and our anointings, what God has already preordained for us, there's going to be a stretch there of how that's going to look. And he wants to raise up people all over the world. This is when we go overseas, when we go into on the global side of things, that's in our heart. You know, Lord, how through our attitude of worship inside can we be releasers of your glory? How can we reflect who you are sensitively, and how can we help displace and dispose of any lies that can be involved in the mindsets of people so that they can feel the full freedom that you have for them, and then they can worship you more, because we're created to worship. We're created to worship him. And if we don't discover that along the way or even have that understanding, it's very, very hard for us to be able to fulfill our call. Because we start looking at the way we think things should be, and they can be turned and they can be confused. So when we're in a challenging place, the Lord wants us to look to him for the answers and for the release from that, and it's there. And we might be in seasons where that's going on, and the season has a beginning and an end. And he wants us to hold fast and hold on in those seasons to be able to hear his heart and connect with his heart so that we're so, so free. When our words are released, when our expressions are released in to others, that we have words of grace and healing. That's what God wants for us. And that's why the enemy will try anything to keep us from real pure worship, because we won't be able to receive from those who want to be able to minister that. And so how we walk that out in the healing rooms, we're just going to try to figure it out. We do have a training time for those who will be involved in you know, trying to step into that, saying, Lord, how do we do that? And I really don't think it's going to be much different than what we've tried over the last 2 years on select nights. And we wanted to do it slowly so that it wasn't taxing for anybody. And that's the word that we've heard from those who are involved in it. And so the reason that we're increasing that is because we felt the Lord saying, you have a lot to offer in the area of worship and healing in this body. And that is one reason why there's been such a strong evangelistic thrust when we go overseas in missions. And so here, to be able to minister that way here is so important. It's not just all about freedom class that we get healed up. It's that we are able to help others out. And we want to do it in a way that's comfortable as much as possible for people. And so we don't want to get stuck. We don't want people to be stuck in pain. If there's pain in our lives and we get stuck in that pain, then pain ends up ruling and we can end up becoming discombobulated and not able to continue on in what we were created to do. So it's the release of pain and how to go about doing that. And this is an extremely prophetic body ever since, well, even before, but a watermark, I think, for us is when Extreme Prophetic was here and Rob was here and Michael, and they were here and they released something really extreme over our church, over Pastor Bill and I, and over our body. And what they said was in line with what has been said by other leaders who've come in here over these years. And so I think back to the words that were spoken, and I take a look at the fruit, and I say, God, you've raised up a prophetic group. And when they come in, when people come in, the core has expanded, and we'd like to see it expand more, for sure. But you want to have a deep resonating of hearts in the area of what true prophetic looks like, and not to minimize that. Because I really believe when we're talking and praying with someone, if we're really tuned in to the Spirit of God, we're going to be able to hear and see things that will help direct. And many of you have done that. Direct the healing, direct the deliverance for physical healings and emotional healings. And I just think that's the heart of Jesus. He is ultimate prophetic guy and ultimate healer. Anybody who came to him was able to connect in his presence and encounter him, really were set free. So setting free, you know, is what God's all about. But that's going to look like something very, very special. And in this region, we're trying to kind of get the heartbeat of what's going on around here. And, you know, even a couple weeks ago when we had three worship bands or teams, you know, that were showing up in Akron. And I know that God has that for Canton, too, in Maslin area, you know. But it was just really strong in my heart because when we were invited and we said yes to that, that invitation really came as a result of stepping out a while ago and connecting in. I'm a connector with people and connecting in with other bodies and other ministries, and for them to worship together, to pray together, to seek God's face together, and then take it to the streets and whatever the streets would look like, literally on First Friday. But some of you might have a different way of ministering also in addition to that or instead of that or whatever. You know, there's different ways to go about it. It doesn't make one better than the other. But yet we want to do whatever we can to be able to minister outside of ourselves and train up our kids to do the same. And that's what missions really is. It's missions. It's going out of ourselves and reaching out to other people. So we have to be in a place where we are freely flowing with the Spirit to be able to do that. And so with the calls and the giftings and such in this body, it's they're remarkable, really. And God doesn't want to see anything hindered in any way, anything stopped in any way. So he's all about changing us up to be able to step into that which belongs to us so that the thief can't rob from us. And when he does, that's not a good thing. So one thing that I just wanted to say real quickly that I wrote in my, I scribbled down, wanted to say that the number three has a special association with Jesus. And I'm not looking for stuff, it's just what God's downloading to us. And when you have three babies in 9 days, it behooves anyone to sit in the face of the Lord and say, so what does that mean? Is that just a happen chance, you know? It just worked out that way? Or is there something that you're trying to say to us? And I really believe, Pastor Bill and I believe that God's trying to say something to us, that the shift that we've been believing for and praying for is upon us. And how we view that shift and what we do in that shift will make all the difference in the world. So just a couple of highlights just for you to think about that I did some research here, and that the number three is very significant, obviously, in the Trinity, but it has an association with the attributes of God. Jesus began his ministry at 30, and he ministered 3 years, and he taught 3 years. King David began his, and this is what I just thought about today, actually, before I came, that King David became king over Israel when he was 30, and then he ministered for 40 years. And that's a whole other message about the number 40. But is very significant in the body of Christ, and significant as King David was a precursor, forerunner for Jesus, and he's also a type and a picture of Jesus and worship and what God wants to establish in worship in our body around the world. There were three temptations in the desert. Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. And those are significant things because the enemy tried three significant ways to try to knock Jesus off course. And as we've studied those in the past, we have seen that those three temptations are very strong, and they all dealt with Jesus' emotions and Jesus' mind as he was trying to present himself to the Lord. He was trying to present himself to God through prayer and fasting, and he was just attacked just horribly. But the key was in the presentation of himself to the Father over this 40-day period. Okay, but the temptations were mighty, and they came as hits. And if he couldn't see them as hits, he may have given in, and who knows where we would be today. But he didn't. And so when he died, after 3 days in the tomb, he resurrected. And I had read that, as I had researched this, that the number three represents a confirmation over the actual presence of the kingdom of God. And so when three keeps showing up, especially in the area of birthing, and nine means gestational birthing time. Nine is a very significant time that God wants us to take a look at something and not just say, wow, we're just really special because there's three and nine together, but see what he's saying for us. And as I As I put this before the Lord, he took me into an encounter with him. because I am so in love with him, and I want to experience him in a way that will be providential for me personally. And many times when I cry, he sees upon me. And I feel him strongly here right now. And all I can do is offer to you what he did that day, that night. And I was before him, and I was in my office, and I just laid before him. I said, Lord, is this you? Are you really saying this? Is this you speaking that we've approached a place really of no return, and it's not striving? And, you know, I didn't need an answer because I was weeping before him. And this peace of God came. And he said, remember Pastor Jose's message last fall? And he said, come out of the cistern. He said, come out of the cistern. And I implore us as a family to come out of the cistern if we're in a cistern, whatever way. Because when I went into this heavenly encounter with him, it fortified me and strengthened me and overwhelmed me more and more as to what the third heaven is, and how living in the third heaven and living with that kind of reality and living in that place is what he has for each one of us, and that will change everything for us, and our interpretation of what we see and what we experience will be different. And so as I just continue to, wow, thank you, Holy Spirit. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Lord says that we're to be sanctified, set apart, spirit, soul, and body, and that that our spirits are to be sanctified, to be made holy, our spirit, our human spirit, because our spirit, when it's connected with Jesus, is absolutely purified. But our soul and our body need to come in line, but that's what God has for us, and that this presence living is going to take on new meaning for us. And I was watching a DVD last night, and I was telling Bill about this, and I'd like to make it available to you guys, but I was at Voice of the Apostles, and Heidi had an amazing time, an encounter, and she was speaking to thousands of people. And in this encounter, she said, as she was praying and as she was releasing over the body, she said, "Wake up." Cross over. And then she said, "Don't be deceived." She said, "Enter into a new atmosphere, enter into a new dimension. Wake up and go into that." It's like, okay. So when she was doing that, smiling, she was just worshiping before the Lord. She said that, and there's more to it than that, I'm not going to go into it, but I was really compelled last night to watch it again. I just sat in my office and supposed to be preparing for today. You know, that was my preparing. It's just like, oh, I'm loving this because I was remembering being there. And I was remembering what the Lord was saying and doing as I was having encounters then. And I said, okay, Lord, you're telling us to wake up, see what you're doing, and cross over into that dimension. And she had another part to that. It's escaping me right at the moment. But anyway, the 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the number 3, is used of God to signify his purposes. So God is sanctifying us, body, soul, and spirit, so that he would be able to do this across the earth. So he even sent 3 messengers to Abraham to tell him that Sarah would conceive in her old age, that she would do the impossible. And it was interesting to me, I hadn't really thought about that, but she went to the Lord, and when the Lord told her what was going to happen, he came to her, she just thought it was ridiculous and laughed. And Isaac was born, and Isaac is the result of laughter. So what looks impossible with us is possible with God. But again, he used 3 servants to do that. So it's very, very significant. Again, just another thought of the number 3. Exodus 10, 22 and 23, 3 times in a year, God commanded that the men of Israel were to appear before the Lord in Jerusalem. And this illustrated the will and purposes of God through the feasts, and that all pointed to the Lord. So the Lord was saying again, I'm pointing to the number 3. And when the number 3 shows up, just like 7 is the number of perfection, but when the number 3 shows up with babies in 9 days, something's going on. And God is saying that there have been a lot of rumblings for a number of years in the places that we are. And hasn't always been easy. And we're in places and seasons where the Lord says, do you believe me? Do you trust me? Do you hold fast to what I have spoken before? Or do you release those? And so I believe that God is saying, hold fast. And I think that this is a significance, because the day actually that the 3rd baby, Everett, was born, and we welcomed Everett on Tuesday, but welcome Everett Maxfield. When he was born in the 9th month on the 3rd day. It was really interesting. And so 9-3, and I got that from Darlene. I said, oh my goodness, because I texted her the 3 babies and the 9 days, and then she said his birthday is 9-3. And he was born at 4:39 in the afternoon. So, you know, this is not weird stuff. This is prophetic stuff that God is saying. And he's saying, I'm doing something in all 3, but it's representing a new birthing that we are involved in right now. And it's not just about frontline. It's about things that he's doing across Ohio, across the body of Christ in Ohio. But he's doing something, and he's saying, the latter rain this year. And you've got to grab it. When Richie and Radiant Worship were here, and they stood at the front door, and they spoke the deluge that was here in this place, and how this place was very different. And they hadn't even worshipped in here. It was before they walked in. And Radiant Nation travels around, and they'll be here this fall. Not at Frontline necessarily, but they'll be in the area this fall. And so I just want you to know that God has spoken some things, and he says, if you doubt that or you smirk at that, I'm not saying that any of us knowingly smirk, but if we don't grab it and go, thank you, Lord, then we may be dissing some of what he's already deposited, which would be his presence manifesting. We can't do that. I can't do that. So a holy fear came over me when I was crying before the Lord. There was a fear of God on me, and it wasn't this fear of him like this. It was the fear of God that leads to extravagant worship. And I've seen, even since that time, and I'm not up on the stage, but I've seen an increase in our worship. Last Sunday, this Sunday, I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what to call it other than it's an increase in the kingdom. And I think that God is saying that I want you to participate, not because you have to, but because you're in love with me. Just one second. Okay, I got some. Thank you. I think I got some smudges on there. God's attributes, omniscience, omnipresence, and omnipotence, represent past, present, and future, all three, those three areas. And when they start increasing, then the Lord is saying, I'm just about to rain down something new. It's like, oh, okay. So I'm reading all of this as I'm studying into the number three. And I also heard that three denotes divine perfection. It doesn't mean that we are perfect people. It means that he's perfecting us. He's maturing us. And he's saying, you know, those of you with stuff in your hearts and whatever, you know, he's saying, I'm the answer, I'm the key, and I'm going to use you. Even if you haven't arrived, even if you're not perfect, even if you're still hurting, you know, even if you are in having struggles, I'm going to use you, and I want to use you. And, you know, the enemy is the one that jabs us and hits us and kicks us and stabs us. He's the one. And he wants us to be able to see that, to recognize that, so we can help others that don't know how to recognize that. So we're in a great place. So, I have so many more. I'll just limit it and just say three is the number of resurrection. We've had many speakings about that, about living in resurrection life, and divine completion. Jesus was crucified in the third hour. He was raised in the third day. He is prophet, priest, and king, as he is relating to man as well. There are three great feasts. There's many feasts, but three great ones: unleavened bread, weeks in tabernacle, and three marks completeness and perfection of testimony. And I don't know what all that means, but it's a good scary for me. Because I've been contending for a long time. And I know that if I stop, even for a moment, I will become a target of assault. And I think we're all targets anyway, but I don't fear that. But I have to have wisdom to be able to see it. So I strongly hold fast to heavenly dreams and visions, strongly. But things that are not heavenly, we need to be able to know the difference and say that's not God's direction. But things that are, we need to be able to know the difference and discern. And I believe as we're presence seekers and oriented in his presence and know what that means beyond a sermon, beyond a word like this, but it changes us on the inside, that it's going to strengthen us. There's strength in that. There's fortitude. There's, I can do all things through Christ, and it's not pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. That's the enemy's lie. That's striving, and that's what's hurtful, and that's what kills all over the body of Christ. And so I don't want to see that in the body of Christ, and believe God's going to do something. So the leaders from over Ohio and a couple other states are going to join us at the end of beginning of October and share with us what healing rooms looks like, again saying, however you design them to be is how they should be, because we believe that you have that freedom. It's like, yay, I like this group. And so, but we'll have the privilege of connecting in with bodies all around the world. Bethel Redding belongs to the International Association of Healing Rooms. Some others don't. It doesn't matter whether they do or they don't. But the reason I say that, because sometimes we wonder, is that flaky? Is that not flaky? I don't think Bill Johnson is flaky. So just so that you know, and you feel free to read about that if you would like to. But I think that God is going to do something here in northeastern Ohio in this arena. And we don't want flaky things going on. And it's time for us to work out anything that would be considered that, or any misconception or wrong idea I taught a course last year, I think, last year sometime, I don't know when it was, on healing. And I believe God gave me that to impart to you guys, and it will be made available through FTC. And there also will be some additional training here. So we want to see people increase in their giftings for healing and in the prophetic area. And Freedom House will spill out of that and continue on. So they're going to go hand in hand. And the way that we're trying to set this up is that it would be it wouldn't be an imposition and it wouldn't be a burden. That it would be an opportunity that those who would be involved in it would feel as though it's something, this is what, oh my gosh, I was created to do this, or, you know, that would be our heart behind it. But I wanted to read to you, well, I don't want to read to you, I do, from what I have written here. This is from a guy by the name of Marcus Yours, and he's actually the editor of Charisma Magazine. And it's funny because I read through the whole magazine and I loved it. I loved it, and what you have is probably one of the best, in my opinion, because it's concise, it's to the point, and it gives us something to go, yeah, and then go before the Lord and say, this is my heart for worship, and reestablish that, especially if you've been having struggles with, you know, in the enemy's camp, because he doesn't want us to see when struggles come from him. We consider the struggles on the inside. Many times the Lord's saying, you know, these struggles are coming from the outside, but it's feeling it's from the inside. And so we want to be able to know the difference and know what that looks like so that we're able to fight appropriately, you know, as lovers and worshipers. That's what I love so much about Heidi, personally, is that she's an overcomer in the midst of adversity. And I want to be an overcomer in the midst of trial and adversity. And I know you do too. But anyhow, Pastor Jose, for those of you who are here on Tuesday, Pastor Jose, who will be here, we're trusting, in the fall, he's a man of incredible integrity and faith and gentleness and kindness, but with that, when he's preaching, he is in full power and authority, releasing, kind of looks like, wah, you know, it's this resurrection wildness that comes upon him. And I love it because I watch the enemy just melt. The Linha de Frente, which is the frontline project there in Mozambique, along with our land, which is also Linha de Frente on the sea, is very pivotal right now, and the enemy would love to snuff it out, and he can't. And so, you know, we have the backing of a virus for this, and we're excited about it, see what God wants to do. It's hard to believe, you know, with our little band here, that it's going to look different, and I believe it is, because it's increasing, but he's fortifying us right now. But Pastor Jose had a major fire this week, and he lost all of his pineapples, and all of them were completely destroyed for the Miraculous Pineapple Project. And we camped on the land. And as I talked with him this week, and as I shared on Tuesday, that was a hit. But because he's an overcomer, he's raising up and talking about the new planting. And the new planting will have bigger crop, faster, more accelerated crop, because he's been used by God to birth something into Mozambique. Heidi already had a huge vision of this a couple years ago at VOA, and we were talking about it actually on the floor, about that vision in a hotel. And I say this to you because we're part of that. And so when you're talking to a major leader in the body of Christ, and we're talking about a vision that she gave over the entire body of Christ at that point at a big conference, and we have a part in that, I think it's significant, and we need to own what God is saying and not dismiss it and go, yeah, that's nice. That's for the people that go to Mozambique. God is saying something. So I just want to say that if anybody wanted to contribute to him, we did offer an opportunity for people to sow into that. You're free to do that. Just mark it, Pastor Jose, and put it in the box, and we'll send it out this week. And he says, we don't lose hope. That was in his email. We never lose hope because our hope is in the Lord and not in what we see. It's like, thank you. So let me read to you what I wrote down from this Marcus Yours. He says, Natural sunlight, as our eyes perceive it, is essentially colorless. Yet, in the right conditions, when there are elements, raindrops to refract that light, a rainbow of magnificent colors can appear. What seems to be nothing but thin air suddenly turns into a brushstroke of God's brilliant prism painted across the sky. And he's writing this in response to watching his child play in a pool somewhere, and there was a baby that was sitting on the edge of the pool, and the baby was just kind of doing one of these. And at first everybody was laughing and trying to figure out what the baby was doing, and then he realized the baby was trying to catch the colors in the rainbow. Can you see that? He says, I don't know anyone who has seen a rainbow who hasn't responded, that hasn't responded in sincere awe. Our Creator's covenant is always stunning. Likewise, I don't know anyone who has truly encountered God who doesn't naturally respond in worship. That's why, as we grow in our relationship with this amazing God, worship becomes a fundamental aspect of our lives and indeed our reason for living. Like raindrops in a rainbow, we exist to refract God's glory throughout the earth. We were created to be transparent vessels of this endlessly colorful God. Sometimes our understanding of true worship can get clouded. I couldn't see what that baby was splashing at, reaching for, until I shifted my own perspective. I had to shift my perspective. Likewise, many of us fail to see his presence all around us, so we quit worshiping. While we're stuck crying out to feel God more, many times he wants us to change our viewpoint and gain a new perspective on who he is, regardless if we can see or feel him or not. Worship is a lifestyle. And it's like, all right, well, don't we all know this? Yes. I believe we've heard these things before. I believe that in this season that worship is going to take another prominent place. I've already talked to Josh, and we're recording this fall. And what might feel like it's long overdue, you know, this baby is being birthed in this season, so things have already been put in motion to record our worship here and to see what God will do with that worship. So steps have already been taken to do this. It's not an idea. Steps are in motion. Things are moving and shifting. Total Living Center has shut down what they're doing on Tuesdays, so they don't have, we're not going to be going down there on Tuesdays after this because of something to do with the way that they're getting funding. So there's a shift there for one of our outreaches. You see, we're open, but we're saying, God, show us what this will look like. Show us so that we, and it's interesting because we took a step for healing rooms, and this one will be cut back. But that doesn't mean that others will be or won't be. It's just that we're trying to say, God, what are you doing? On Saturdays for our young adult edge, that's taking a new turn, and well, there'll be a new face for that as well. And we're seeing some things increase in there with extended. We have a team approach that we're establishing that we want to see offered to be able to reach out to more in the body of Christ so that what God has given us to be able to touch that aspect, that generational aspect, will be very strong. He's already laid the foundation. He's given us all kinds of ways of reaching out, and now he's saying, I'm going to gather it in, and worship will be a key, very strong key, with others in the body of Christ. And so he's very, very strong about that. When we had an in-party a couple weeks ago, which is side of the worship school that meets periodically, this time we met at Christy and Josh's, and we were brainstorming and vision casting about what it will be like when there's worship and preaching in stadiums around here. And that's already been seen in visions and dreams, and it's going to happen. And so anything that is difficult to birth, a child gestationally, it's simple for God on the inside, but it's not easy for a mom on the outside to birth a child. And it's messy. And so in the birthing process, and it's painful, in the birthing process, God is saying some things might feel or look a little messy or even be painful, but don't lose sight of what is happening. So I think the significance of these three babies in 9 days is God answering some really direct questions that we've had and increasing us to take a step into the next realm that we're in, that we're supposed to be part of. I want to have you post, if you would, the 2 Samuel scripture. Okay. In chapter 6, 2 Samuel chapter 6, this 3 through 23, it's in NASB, and I would implore you to think about this because it's filled with some things that will go along with what I passed out for you to read, if you would, about Darlene Zeck's opinion and such, impartation. Because this is taking an Old Testament perspective. David, king of worshipers, you know, the Lord says that King David's worship will be reenacted, if you will be drawn up again, will be recreated, will take a different form because it's new covenant, but it will be in this new season that we're in. And the Lord has specifically shared that all throughout scripture, and we've already studied that in here. But suffice it to say that it's important to see what that was like back in the day, because if we're going to embrace what God wants to do, we have to be able to understand that whatever we see from the past, the now is going to be new and better, much better, and much different. And so he's looking after our hearts. The Lord is looking after our hearts of worship in this season to be able to birth this global evangelistic worship call that we're part of. And God says, I've specifically chosen you, and I want you to be understanding this so that you don't miss this in your worship with the Lord. Because when we're worshiping him, whether we're singing a song or whether we're changing a diaper, this heart of worship to our King, where this constant connection and flow is going on, is absolutely pivotal in this time so that we are strong. Because the enemy is very strong. He is. But he's not stronger than a worshiper. Okay? And we need to be worshipers. I don't know what I just said. The enemy is strong, but he's not stronger than a worshiper. One who worships in spirit and in truth. It may hurt, but God says, keep worshiping me. Keep worshiping me, and I will make clear what it is I want you to see. Keep worshiping me. So King David, being king of the land, so to speak, he was a very prominent king. And in his kingship, in his kingliness, he was so excited when the Ark of the Covenant was brought back, because wherever it went in battle, there was always victory. And the Ark of the Covenant represented his presence, represented him, represented God on earth. So let's go. But we don't take him with us like that any longer. He lives on the inside. So we as worshipers need to respond to that truth and then move from that place. Everything else is secondary if we don't move from that place. And so I found that out a very, very long time ago in my own life when I cried a lot. But I was a worshiper. And as a result, because of being a worshiper, I was able to overcome. Not myself. I'm not good enough or strong enough. I'm nothing. But worshipers can overcome. When you're worshipers, you've got to think of yourself that way. I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. I'm an overcomer. So David did. So what happened was, after this Ark of the Covenant was brought back to the place where it was close to his palace, he was so excited that he started dancing freely before everybody. And he was so captured in the fact that his God showed up, a victorious God, that this overcoming presence lover absolutely went crazy, and he looked like a goofball. He looked like somebody who wasn't really on, you know? And so let's look at, in verse 5, it says, Meanwhile, David and all the house of Israel were celebrating before the Lord with all kinds of instruments made of fir wood, with lyres, harps, tambourines, castanets, and cymbals. Okay, so it's talking about the attitude of worship already that's going on. Can you flip it, please? But when they came to the threshing floor, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God, and he took hold of it, for the oxen nearly upset it. And the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down for his irreverence, and he died by the ark of God. You know, it's just kind of weird sounding. It makes me wonder about our God at first, maybe. But then you read on, and it says that he died there. David became angry because the Lord's outburst against Uzzah, and that place is called Perez Uzzah to this day. So David was afraid of the Lord, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? Because David, when he was trying to figure out why this would happen, there was the fear of God that rose in him. And he said, how can this come to me? So he's still understanding what it means to carry this presence from place to place. But he was undone because the thought of being left out of God's presence was absolutely more than he could handle. And he continued to worship as a result. He didn't stop. He continued to worship, even though he wondered if he wouldn't be able to be in the presence of God anymore. It's just kind of a interesting picture that's leading to where we are today. So David was unwilling to move the ark of the Lord into the city of David, but he took it aside to the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Thus, the ark of the Lord remained in the house for 3 months. There's the number three. And the Lord blessed him and his household. Now it was told, King David, saying, the Lord has blessed the house and all that belongs to him on account of the ark of God. When we're presence-centered, presence-oriented, presence-junkies, presence-decisive, moving in the presence, refusing anything else, we're going to be blessed. What's going to happen? There'll be peace in our homes. There'll be peace in our businesses. There'll be peace in our finances. There'll be peace in our bodies. Peace will come. And it may sound simplistic, but it's the truth. This is the Old Testament telling us it's going to be so much better even in the New Covenant. It's the truth. This is the presence-centered place. Well, from that place, peace will reign, even in the midst of calamity and adversity. And the only place that will run is into the arms of the Lord, and will run into his presence. And that will be the safe place. We won't run away. We will run towards. Okay? And we need to know that, especially with healing rooms starting, that God's saying, I'm with you. I'm with you. This is my idea. It's not frontline trying to do more stuff. You know, if you're in Legends or whatever, I'm saying to you, it is God. How God wants to do it so that people feel encouraged and strengthened is up to him. And that's what we want to hold fast to. Do you see? So I want you just to hear that, because, you know, if something is from the Lord, we want to be able to say, God, help me understand what this would look like so it's not an intrusion. You know, when there was a big birthing of an outpouring in Toronto Airport Christian Fellowship, just a regular church, the Holy Spirit just went crazy, and they weren't prepared. I don't know what God's going to do here. All I know it's been prophesied. And I'm believing for it, because it's been prophesied. And it's been prophesied by others that I'm not even mentioning here. It's just continuously. I just know it. And so I'm waiting and watching this birth as the rain comes down. So here, David went up and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. Next verse. And so it was that when the bearers of the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed an ox and fatling. And David was dancing before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel were bringing up the ark of the Lord with shouting and the sound of the trumpet. Then it happened, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looked out of the window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. She rose up against the presence. She rose up. It was an enemy. She thought it was weird. She rose up against the outpouring of the heart of worship that God was calling from David as a forerunner, as a precursor. And so anytime there's going to be something positive, there has to be the counterpart. Otherwise, there's no faith. It has to happen. There has to be a, ugh. And that happens, you know, when we go into some of the churches that we preach in Indonesia or other places. We know they're not necessarily all excited at first. But when the presence of God moves, then hungry hearts are captured. It's amazing. You don't come in as a bull in a china shop. You come in carrying the power and the presence of God, and then he shows up and changes even the most hurting person. And so she despised him in her heart. Next verse. So they brought in the ark of the Lord and set it in its place inside the tent which David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. When David had finished offering the burnt offering and the peace offering, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Further, he distributed to all the people, to all the multitude of Israel, both to men and women, a cake of bread and one of dates and one of raisins to each other. Then all the people departed, each to his house. And then finally, but when David returned to bless his household, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David, she's his wife, and met David and said, how the king of Israel distinguished himself today. He uncovered himself today in the eyes of his servant maids as one of the foolish ones shamelessly uncovers himself. And the last three verses. So David said, it was before the Lord who chose me, above your father and above all his house, to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore I will celebrate before the Lord. I will be more lightly esteemed than this, and will be humble in my own eyes. But with the maids of whom you have spoken, with them I will be distinguished. Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. And some versions say, I will be more undignified than this. And Matt Redman took that right out of this passage, you know, and he talked about worshiping the Lord and being undignified in worship. He was losing himself in worship, and recently I read one of his books, and I was just undone. I thought, you're humble. You've got humility. Wow. I love this. I actually emailed him and said, would you come to Frontline this weekend? So God wants him here. He'll be here. But anyway, what says here in verse 23, and this is what shook me, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child to the day of her death. And it's like, you know, I don't think God's trying to scare us, but I believe he's speaking about birthing, and he's birthing new things because there was a rising up against the presence. And so in this new season, Revelation chapter 5 speaks about this, how God is reinvigorating worship, if you would, as a key for everything around the world. A worship revival around the world is real evangelism with preaching. When Reinhard Bonnke preaches like this, very strongly, this is his act of worship, and the word goes out, and thousands, millions, what am I saying? Millions, 75 million so far, are saved. Okay? So worship is entwined with that, and we're moving into a realm where that is so strong that we want to do what we do in this house well. And we do worship well, if you will. Okay? And healing and prophetic and evangelism. That's who we are. And I believe that God is saying, see who you are and be with this is a clarion call. It's a trumpeting call for us to say, Lord, thank you for birthing something in this season that might seem a little fledgling to some, but this is something that God is saying it's not fledgling to me. When we received the call from Pastor Jose, come out of the cistern, I believe that day was a turning point. And God says, it's not the only turning point, but I believe God is saying, don't be fooled and fall into a cistern, or if you're in one, stay in there. I will help, I will raise you up. And he's very simplistic about it. He says, if you believe in healing, pray for healing. And we're doing it all over. We're doing it in the workplace. We're doing it on the streets. We're doing it in different places. So I would like you to, I would like you to listen to this song, and there's a little bit of a video up here that has the chords of this song, but I would like you to think about these words. So you need to actually look at the words if you'd like to view them. If you don't want to close your eyes, do that too, but the words will be up there. But this really hit me when I was playing it over and over and over and over. And this is Matt Redman's very new song. Maybe some of you know it. But it's about the grace that God has. And there's grace on this house. There's great grace on this house. Great grace on your lives, for your family. Great grace for the future. And you guys are overcomers. You know, you're not second class. You are overcomers. And the Lord wants us to know his ways and his means and his tool for overcoming. So let's do that. Let's listen to that now as we close. Would you turn it up loudly so we can hear it, please?
It's there in the newborn cry, there in the light of every sunrise, there in the shadows of this life, your great grace. It's there on the mountain top, there in the everyday and the mundane, there in the sorrow and the dancing, your great grace. Oh, such grace. From the creation to the cross, there from the cross into eternity, your grace finds me. Yes, your grace finds me. Your grace.
Father, we just praise you and thank you for your great grace. And we thank you, Lord, that we breathe in your grace and we release your praise, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that what you have started, the good work that you've started, Lord, will be brought to completion in us, in this ministry, in Northeastern Ohio, around the world, Lord God. And Father, that as our eyes are really, really holding fast to you, Father, we know that we can't be held by anything other than your arms of love. Thank you, Lord. Show us the way through your great grace, Lord. We love you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I think we have a